Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church, Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
Romans chapter 4, we're going to go into verse 19. And it says this, the scripture says, "And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." This is talking about Abraham. "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." So let's bow our heads. We'll pray one more time, and then we'll get into this. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that you've given us in your word. Lord, we cherish you. We honor you. And we invite you here tonight. Lord, I ask you for your help to speak through me and for me, but also that you would open our hearts and that we would hear your heart tonight, and that you would do the only ministry that can be done so that we leave here changed forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so tonight we'll be talking about faithfulness of God in action. So, the faithfulness of God in action. Now, the picture that you just saw was of my family, but I did want to show you the next picture, which is of me and my wife. And so we have actually been, isn't she pretty? We have actually been married for 20 years next month. I know, exciting. Pretty young to be married for 20 years. You know, we got married when we were 12. But we do a lot of ministry with married couples, and we do a lot of premarital counseling, and we do I do officiate some marriages, and we absolutely love couples. So that's part of what we do as a ministry. But as I mentioned, we've been married for 20 years, and over that 20 years, we've actually lived in a lot of different places. The bulk of time that we lived in North Carolina. I know, I heard it. And then we had a season that was in the New York, New Jersey area, which was exciting, one character building year. And then we also had a season of time where that we were in the Northern Virginia and the Washington, D.C. area, which was absolutely a delight. And my wife and I actually had a season in ministry where we planted a church in Greensboro, North Carolina. And this was actually, the exciting thing is we started this church right in the middle of starting our marriage. So we got married 3 months after we started the church. Great way to start a marriage, I'm telling you. If that's the way you want to, you know, really make sure that you're off to a bang, that's the way to do it. And so we started this church. It went well, but I was preaching 5 nights a week because we were trying to launch the church and get things going. We were reaching out to campuses. The church is very, very similar to Aletheia in its makeup. It was made up of a lot of college students, yet young professionals. It really went across a lot of different generational boundaries. It was really exciting. One of the campuses was North Carolina A&T State University, which is an HBCU, and so that was exciting. So we were just doing a lot of different ministry. And then also as a part of that ministry, we took a stint and we served our sister church in New York City. So we were in New York, like I told you, for about a year. And then in that same time, we were helping out the church plant in Philadelphia. So So as you probably know, you know, we're a part of a family of churches that's global. And so these were two other churches that we had the real blessing of being a part of. And I tell you that because it really feeds into the story. And so it was during this time that the church in Greensboro that we were planting, it grew, it got exciting, people were coming, campuses were getting touched. And before I had actually gone into the ministry, before we had planted this church, my degree is in biology, and I actually was working in the industry of pharmaceutical research, which is a natural entree into planting a church, as you well know. And so what was exciting, I had a full-time job. God called me into the ministry. We planted this church. We did it for a pretty long stint, and then things were going great. They were rocking, and then all of a sudden, we started sensing that God was calling us to do something different. And it just kept over and over layering in the fact that we really felt like that the Lord was calling us to actually turn over our church to some of our friends and for us to step aside and for me to go back into the full-time business. And what a change of course. But that was exactly what we were supposed to do. So we did that, and I went back into the business world. And what we did is we ended up moving to the Washington, D.C. area, where we lived for about 4 years. Now, I have to tell you, from a favorite place, and I know Boston rocks, but the Washington, D.C. area and the Northern Virginia suburbs, which is where we lived, was awesome. I mean, we were there for about 4 years, and during that time, things were so great in our life. When you look back over your life, you have seasons of time where you're like, this is awesome, and you have other times where you're like, yeah, and that gets to the next awesome time. Well, this was an awesome time. I mean, this was great. I mean, we had an awesome house. We had an awesome neighborhood. We had friends. Have you ever been in a season where you didn't have friends? And then you have a season where you do have friends? Thank you, Lord. And I mean, it was just like, it was good. I had a great job. I got to work for a part of the government. It was really, really cool. And we had a great church that we were going to. It was also at that time that my sweet daughter was born. Go Virginia girls, they rock. And so it was just a wonderful time. I have to tell you about one thing. I had a commute that was like an hour long one way, but things were going so good. It was awesome. I loved my commute. I mean, that's where you sense like God's grace is on your life. You know, you're like, I love my job. I love my commute. I love my sunroof. Things are going well. I had this gorgeous over the hills drive, and I would spend time with the Lord. And it was like this wonderful, I had an hour, just me and him, there and back. And during that time that the Lord started to really layer in some promises into my heart. And I don't know if you've ever had these times where you could just feel like that you're really sensing what God's saying to your life. And that was this time for me. And he had layered in some promises. And one particular promise that he had layered into my life was, he said, I'm going to completely redeem your life. And I thought, wow, this is great. Because the side story is I'd grown up in a pretty tough situation. I grew up in the deep south of Alabama. That's not the tough part. But I'd grown up, and my mom was really sick growing up. My folks divorced when I was super young, like 2 years old. And it was just tons of challenge that was growing up. And one of those real big challenges is that we always seem to have some financial challenges growing up. I don't know, maybe you guys are awesome and wealthy, but I was not that guy. You know, it was just a tough time. And so I felt like the Lord was like, I am going to redeem this in your life. I'm going to do something in your life. And so I thought, man, that's awesome. And I was so excited to get this promise. But, and that's called the holy but, right after that promise, everything in my life started to change. Now remember, we were in this wonderful promised land, Northern Virginia, like this was the wine country, horse farms. I mean, Jesus lived there. It was awesome. But the time that we were in Virginia was in the years 2007 to 2010. Now, I don't know if anybody, I heard one ha back there. And what we did, if you remember, this happened to coincide with a very exciting time in our economy. And in this time, it was called a financial crisis in our country. And in particular, it was something called the housing market crash, which was also a great opportunity for everybody who loves God to trust him even more. Well, we had been one of those that had bought this beautiful house in Northern Virginia. And, I mean, it was gorgeous. And but, like many people, the value of our house had plummeted. Now, some people say plummeted, and then some people say plummeted. When I say plummeted, I mean rock bottom. We had neighbors across the street, this was not us, thank you, Lord, but had lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in the value of their home. Ours was definitely upside down, which I never knew that term until that time. And then the job that I had, remember my awesome job? The job that I had that I loved so much started to change. The winds of change started to happen. And then lo and behold, that job started to dry up. And so the work that I had eventually started to stop. And I knew that there was an end date in sight. So here I was in this beautiful place with a very exciting, healthy mortgage with no job, with three kids, with the habit of eating. And so it was just one of these times where I was like, whoa, my goodness, what are we going to do? And I looked for jobs in the Northern Virginia area, which you would think they grow in trees like apples in the fall of New England. And I couldn't get a job. And I was trying, and every door was shutting. And I thought, oh, Father, if it was just me, that's one thing. But I've got these kids, and they like to eat. So what are we going to do? So I went ahead, and I applied for a job back in North Carolina. And I got this job in North Carolina, a real miraculous job. And so we ended up moving back to North Carolina. And I was grateful to have work. I mean, don't get me wrong. It helps. But that was not where I wanted to go. I had to leave the house we loved, and it just wasn't where we wanted to be at that time. But let me tell you, God was so faithful during that time because the job started in 1 week, and the week prior was when the money ran out. And it was like we stepped from here right over to here. We didn't miss a beat financially by the grace of God. We were close, but we didn't. But God is faithful. But then remember, I had this beautiful house in Virginia. Now I live in a different state, so I needed to sell our house. Well, we had to sell our house, but the value was really low. And so we ended up selling our house, and the loss that we took was really large. I normally don't talk about numbers, but it's important for the moral of the story. We lost $108,000. Everybody take a deep breath, I know. But miraculously, we were able to get out of the house without foreclosing or short selling. And that's important because we had our family who happened to have this fund that was kind of like, not my immediate family, but they had this little fund and they were able to help loan us some money to get out of the house. With my new job, they helped to offset that. And so we were able to get out of the house. So here I am in North Carolina. I started immediately paying back the family with this loan. I mean, it was a large loan. And and we lived in North Carolina for about 3 years. And as soon as I'd paid off this loan back to our family, we started to feel like, you know what? This is nice, but we just don't feel like we fit here. Have you ever been in a place and you're just like, it feels like a wheel's off the track. It's just not quite right. Now listen, I love North Carolina. I got a lot of money, blood, sweat, tears, time in North Carolina. So we were surprised that it didn't fit. But we wondered, God's obviously up to something. And as I thought about it, I was like, man, this doesn't look like redemption to me. You know, we're here, but something's not quite right. So, like everybody else after the financial crisis, we said, hey, let's buy another house. So it took 3 years to get our faith again to try to buy a house. So we find this house, beautiful house. We rolled them an offer, like that means it's really low, and they accepted. Everything went great. Gorgeous house. Beautiful. This is in April of 2013. That's important. 4 months later, August of 2013, the job that I had, winds of change again, started to dry up. Now, guys, I promise you I'm a good employee. I don't know what was going on, but there was just, I mean, stuff was starting to change, and I was like, no problem. We're in North Carolina. I can do this. So I started going after jobs left and right. Couldn't get a job. All the doors kept shutting. To make it even more exciting, I had booked a vacation at this time. Not just booked, paid for the vacation. Paid for. So here I was coming up. I think we had about $2,000 left, Pastor Donnie. And we were going to go on vacation, which was the perfect time, right? So here we were, and I'm sitting here slightly panicking, looking for a job anywhere I could while my kids were on the beach of North Carolina living it up. And so it's okay, guys. I got this. And so I remember I tried so many venues, but nothing happened. So I found this job, and it happened to be in Boston. And I thought, okay. So I didn't want to move to Boston, right? Because I was in North Carolina. I'm a Southern guy. Blood's, thin. I don't like being cold. I'm really cold right now. And so I applied for this job, and I wasn't even sure I spelled things right. You know, you just hit send, and you're just like, okay, boom, it hits. Within like weeks, I had a phone interview. Within weeks, I found myself on the T going here to Central Square to go for a job interview. I didn't even know what the T was. I was sorry I knew. It was like, what's going on? I get into this interview. It goes great. I go home. Phone rings. It's the HR lady. I put her on speakerphone. She says, we are happy to offer you this great job. And she quotes the salary. My wife hits me. She's like, because it was huge. It's like this big thing I'd never had before. And she says, we're going to give you a full relocation package. She hits me again. And and we're going to give you a sign-on bonus. This time I dodged. And then, and so here we were. And you hang up the phone and you accept the offer, right? Because they have this habit of eating. And so, but then I was like, but Boston. Oh, okay. So here we go. And so we ended up moving. But then, remember, we had the beautiful house in North Carolina. So we're like, oh, here we go again. We got to sell the house. God was so faithful that he brought a buyer. We made money on the house. And the exact amount of money that we made was the exact amount of money, almost to the dollar, that we had borrowed from my family to pay off the house in Virginia. God was watching. Yes, he was the one that orchestrated it all. So we've been here for 6 years. We've been at Olathe for 6 years. We actually have a house we've lived in for 4 years. Kids are in school. My kids are doing great. One of them is so awesome. They're all awesome, but one's excitingly awesome. He's applying to like multiple military academies. He's a senior. He's the tall one down here that I'm embarrassing. And I mean, my wife has now become a children's book author, which is great. And the exciting thing that I didn't know, that Boston is a hotbed for the authoring community. And that's a perfect place for her to be. This is exactly what God had in store, which was exactly not what I wanted, but it was something that God had, and he is faithful. And so now we are here. So the point that I wanted to share that story, and I know I took a long time, because I wanted you, one, to get to know us as our family, but two, for you to see the thread of God's faithfulness all throughout a period of time in our life. Because you might find yourself in some similar stories that you might have drawn from my life. And I just want to encourage you that God is faithful. So we're going to draw out a couple of points here, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up. But the first thing I want to talk about, let's go back to Romans chapter 4, what we just read. Again, we're talking about Abraham. And in verse 19, he says this, and God says, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I know everybody paid attention last week when Pastor Donnie preached this, but just to remind you, the promise that God gave Abraham was, hey, I'm going to make you a father of nations, of a multitude of nations. And this is where Abraham was like, okay, I've got this promise, but I hate to tell you, but I'm 100 years old. And my wife, she's way past the time of being able to give birth. We're not your prime candidates for populating, you know, like nations at this point. But God was he said, that doesn't matter. I can do more with less than you can do with more. So, first thing that we see is that we see faithfulness in action starts with reality. Faithfulness in action starts with reality. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, some have thought that if you're real, that's like a lack of faith. Like if you are in denial, that's like somehow that you're like not walking in faith. But that's not it. I mean, I've heard examples of people being afraid or concerned of admitting that they're in a hard time or a challenge because they're afraid that they'll be, quote, out of faith. That's not true at all. To admit a hard time is not lack of faith. It's an assessment of reality. If you find yourself in a pit, it's a little silly to say, I'm not in this pit. Yeah, you're in a pit. But also, if you sit there and harp and live in the fact that you're in the pit, that's not faith either. God wants us to look beyond where we are to where he wants us to go. And you see, Abraham, he was tuned into reality. He knew he was 100 and that Sarah was past the years of having kids. And that the promise of God seemed in the natural to be in direct conflict with what he saw. How many times is God in the habit of giving us a promise that's way beyond what we see with our eyes? All the time. That's how you know that it's a promise from God. I mean, here's a teaser, but small promises, I mean, you can do those. Like, you could probably take care of some of them. Big promises, those are God promises. If you know that you're believing for something that's way beyond you, then we really need God to do something that we couldn't do in ourselves. And so many promises are way beyond where we are right now. But if it wasn't, where would the faith be? So what I was telling you was, it's not a lack of faith to admit where you are. That's the first place. Now, I know we all have cell phones, but you know when you open your Maps app and you're looking for the blue dot? Now, that's exactly what this is. It's like, yes, I am here, but this is where I'm going to go. So that's not wrong. In my story, I know we looked back many times, and I mean, it was rough. It was bleak. I mean, money was almost gone at times, but God was always there. And I didn't deny where we were, but I focused on that God would provide. Now, I'd like to tell you that I was without flaw, that I did this perfectly. You can just look up to me. I'm like your hero. No, I mean, I wasn't perfect through the time. That's not relatable. There were times where it was hard. There were times where it was really, really tough. But God came through, and he was always faithful. And I knew that that God was bigger than the reality that I found myself in. So the second thing that we're going to look at is that faithful in action will be tested. Now, when God makes a promise, those promises will be tested. One reason is that God is much more interested in your capacity than in your comfort. Yeah, God wants you to be big on the inside, not just comfortable. That's why we keep it cold in this room, so that you're not comfortable. God wants us for you to grow in your capacity, not just in your comfort. You see, the process of seeing those promises come into reality, that's a part of the test. You can't circumvent it. Great promises being fulfilled many times come from great tests. It's easy for God, by the way, to fulfill your promise. He's more interested in you growing along the way. In my own life, God had made me a promise to redeem my life, but it seemed at that point that he makes the promise that everything fell out. The bottom fell out of life, and we started a season of challenge and pain. But it was only later, in hindsight, that I saw that it was a time of testing and proving. It was super easy for God to redeem all my stuff, but he was much more interested in the process of growing me, maturing me, helping me and my family become into the powerful people that he wanted us to be, that we're still trying to be disciples of Christ now. God's a good father. And good fathers know that you don't do everything for your kids. You allow, you give them, you provide, but there's also a place where they have to learn something on their own. And that's what so much of our life is about. I wanted to call out Hebrews 12:2. I want to remind you that, remember, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. You don't grow and you won't grow unless you're challenged. It's during the times of testing that we find God the most and experience his faithfulness. There's a scripture that says, faith that is seen is not faith at all. That's why we have to believe. So, faithfulness in action will be tested. Faithfulness in action also, the third thing, doesn't waver. If you look at verse 20, it says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Listen, it's always tempting to quit. It is always tempting when it's hardest to quit. There will be no shortage of opportunity all along the way of seeing the promises fulfilled and to start being doubtful that that's going to happen. For Abraham, during his season of waiting on the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith and gave glory to God. He focused on the power of God to do what it was that God had said he would do. He didn't focus on where he was. He didn't focus on his own strength or the lack thereof to make it happen. He focused on the promise and on his God who had made it and who was able to fulfill it. Hebrews 10:23 says, "He who has promised is faithful." Guys, I want to encourage you. Whatever you're going through tonight, Jesus, who has made promises to you, is faithful. He has not left you. He has not lost your address. He has not unfriended you. He is, I promise you, he is in your life and orchestrating things so that you will become who it is that you're called to be. And oh, by the way, he's going to fulfill the promises in your life. Abraham, this was something I thought was really cool, because in Abraham's story, while he's waiting to become the father of a multitude of nations, God takes him outside at night. He says, "Hey, Abraham, look up. You see the stars? Count them if you can, and that's how many kids you're going to have." I mean, not only did God promise him, "I'm going to give you one child, I'm going to make you, these are all your kids." Every time it got dark, Abraham had a reminder of that promise. I want you to know that in your life, when God makes you a promise, put up a reminder so that it's there every time, so you remember, "Nope, Lord, you said this, I'm trusting you." In our story, it was during those times of testing that I had to remember what God had said and his faithfulness in the past. Hillary and I had this thing. We would often remind each other of the truth. And during that vacation of pain, that's what I've called it, the vacation of pain, we'd see each other passing and remind each other, "God, he's going to provide. We don't know how, but he's going to provide." Just to keep encouraging each other along the way. It wasn't easy, but tests usually aren't. Faithfulness in action is also a choice. Verse 21 says, "And being fully assured that what God has promised, he was also able to perform." All right, newsflash. Faith is not a feeling. It's not. You're not going to, a lot of times you won't feel faith. Faith starts with a choice to believe, to trust, to rely on God to do what he said he would do. Because remember, your reality is probably painful. So if you're waiting for a feeling to show up before you start believing God, you're going to be waiting for a long time. But what I encourage you from my own experience is you have to choose to say, "No, Lord, you said you're going to do it. And because of that, I'm trusting in you." Circumstances are going to look whatever they will, but we have to choose to believe what God says. Ultimately, I promise you, he'll do what he says he'll do. I know for us, we had to choose to believe, and we did it together, that he would provide. That statement about during the vacation of pain that we were like, you know, looking at each other, saying God's going to provide, that was a choice. I mean, that was something we had to choose to do. And I chose because I said, "Lord, I know you. I've walked with you. I've seen you provide before, and I know that you're faithful, and you're my Father, and I believe you." And the other thing that I would do sometimes is before we had seen that, start thanking him ahead of time before you see what it is that God's promised you. "Lord, I don't see it, but I thank you ahead of time. Lord, I'm thanking you for this." If you're, maybe your promise is you're believing for someone in your household to get saved. "Lord, I thank you that they are saved." Lord, maybe you're believing for something, maybe it's healing in your own heart or even in your body. "God, I thank you ahead of time before I see this." So that's my encouragement. And then the fifth and last thing is faithfulness in action will be rewarded. Seasons change. That's a good thing. Seasons don't last forever. Thank God for June in New England, that the seasons change, you know? February is not all year. But I want you to know that even here, in seasons of testing and pain, there is a new dawn. Hebrews 11 says it actually pleases God when we have faith in him, when we trust him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I know that for us personally, we've been here in Boston for 6 years. God is still showing his miraculous provision. This week, he showed his miraculous provision. I told you we live in this house for 4 years. It's a sweet house. It's an old house, really old house. I think we are the one, you know, this old house, I mean, we're prime candidates. And so, that show, PBS, yeah. And we have these needs, and we're believing God for these things, but we're still in that place where that we have just enough to make it. But I went on to a credit card, online in my credit card, and I was expecting to see a zero balance. And I looked at it, and instead of a zero balance, it had a negative balance. Now, that's something I've never had before. So, and it was a pretty significant negative balance. It means that I had a credit that I wasn't expecting. So I called a credit card company because I'm a Boy Scout, and I'm like, I got to be, you know, trustworthy and loyal. And I said, and I'm also a pastor. And I said, okay, so I don't want to just take the money. I called him up. I said, before I throw a party, I said, I've seen this, and I just want to make sure, is this a mistake? I want to be honest. And he goes, thank you for your honesty. The way that this is organized, it's probably yours, but I'll put it under investigation. I was like, oh. And he's like, and if you get a check in the mail, it's past the investigation. I was like, okay, great. So here I'm waiting. Every day I'm checking the mail. I'm like, come on, Lord, let's do this. It came on Saturday, and there was a check, and I was like, woohoo, it's there. God knows where you live. It's still happening. He's still faithful. So the thing I'm so excited about is that what we go through, these rewards, they're not just about you. This is about the people that you're walking with as well. Because you've got friends and family. I've got kids that have watched us go through this. And they've watched us see God's faithfulness. They've seen God work in our life. They've seen us when we were, you know, in that vacation of pain. When they've seen us when we didn't know how things were going to go. And then they've seen God come through. Listen, in your life, open up some of these things that you're walking with appropriately in your small group. Do you like that, appropriately? Do that in a right way with your small group. Let them know what you're walking through. Because when the victories happen, share it. Because it's like a vitamin B shot to somebody beside you that says, I can do it too. Yes, God, if you did it for them, you're going to do it for me as well. I have to underscore, though, that the importance of why we're here is because it's Jesus that gives us the strength. He's the one who enables us to believe him and to trust him. He's the one, even though it's still a choice, he even gives us the strength to choose. I know that throughout our own story, we deeply depended upon the Lord. We were desperate for God to move. That's a good place to be. It's not wrong to be hungry. It's good to be hungry for the Lord and hungry for him. So what do we do now? Well, if you are those who have given your life to Christ, if you're walking with Jesus now, you've signed up, you've turned over all your passwords to the Lord, and you've given him your whole life. I like to say it that way. That's more relevant. And you're willing to follow him wherever he goes, wherever he leads you to go. Then I encourage you to remember how faithful that he's been in your life. The good things that have happened in your life, don't think, and I know you're going to still like me after I say this, but it might not be because you did it. It might be because God opened the door. You got the job because God flung the door wide. You've got the spouse that you have because God loves you. You've got the things that you have. You've seen the good things in your life, not because you're all that. And I mean, I know you're all that, and you're very smart and very good looking, but what if it was God who did that? No, it was God. And remember that, and let that faithfulness of who he is and was fuel for what you're believing him for now. If you're still waiting to see his promise, don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time you'll reap if you don't grow weary. Remember, it's much more about you growing in God. One way you can grow in God is to go to Encounter Weekend next weekend. You'll find him in a powerful way. I mean, seriously, invite the power of the Holy Spirit to irrevocably change your life. If you happen to not be saved yet, if you happen to not know who I'm talking about this Jesus, if you happen to think that it's a strange concept, that's okay. I encourage you to step out. I encourage you to make a choice to follow Jesus Christ and let him irrevocably change your life. He's going to write a better story than anything you could ever do. His pedigree for your life is far better than what you're building. Jesus loves you, and he died for you. Stop trying to do everything on your own and start trusting in him. I really want to encourage you that God's at work in your life, and that he loves you, and that he's faithful, and that he's going to continue to be faithful, because he is faithfulness, and he won't deny himself. So I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Donnie will come up. But Lord,